Right now, Lynn is going to bring us this morning's reading.
The reading is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus.
Well, today, I'm going to be like Jesus. Well, actually, we should always be like Jesus, shouldn't we? But what I mean, I'm going to sit down and speak rather than stand up. Usually when I preach, I stand up. But it's Jesus did that quite often. We read it in Matthew chapter 5 when he was given, talking about the Beatitudes, he sat down and taught the multitudes. And then in when he was at Nazareth, he was in the synagogue and he was reading the scriptures. And then he went and sat down and everybody looked to see, to watch him and to hear what he was going to say. So I'm sitting down instead of standing up. Well, we're at the threshold of a new year. What does it hold? Will it be better than last year? Well, we certainly hope so, don't we? We pray that God will be gracious to us. And I reckon all of us have hopes. And we look forward to what God will bring into our lives. I do appreciate what you folks have done for us. And thank you too, Lynn, for reading the scriptures from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. Now, I really would ask and hope that you'll have your Bibles before you as we look at this, because I've found in the past that as people read the Word of God, the Holy Spirit brings things to our minds and to our hearts that as a speaker, we just don't do. And, you know, as much as we try, we just pray that God will use the words that we say to encourage us and challenge us and bring us closer to Christ. And so this is this passage of Philippians chapter 3 that we're going to look at. And I suppose in a sense, this is my hope for 2022. I know it's going to sound perhaps very super spiritual, and I hope it doesn't come that way, because I'm not preaching today. I'm just sort of, I don't know, giving a devotion or maybe just sharing my heart a bit with you. This time doesn't really limit me, doesn't permit me to expand it as much as I'd like to. Perhaps I might do that when I'm maybe preaching at another church sometime and open it up a bit more, because there's so much in this passage. And I'm sure that as God speaks to us and speaks to you, you'll find out more about it. You know, I remember the first computer I ever used, not the first one I saw, but the first computer I ever used. It was a big old thing, wasn't it? And this computer didn't have a mouse. It had those little arrows, and you moved the cursor from one by moving the arrows. And it had a big 5-inch floppy disk. I doubt if it even had a memory. But, you know, I thought that was fantastic. I could keep my accounts on it. It added up automatically. Made no mistakes, and it moved things from one to the other. Double check stuff. It was great. But when I compare that old machine with my Windows 10, there's no comparison whatsoever, is there? I wouldn't want to go back to the old system, and why should I? And that's exactly what Paul was saying here concerning the things he thought was so valuable to and beneficial to him until he found Christ and realized that Jesus was so much better. Paul really felt he had it made. He had the right things with, as he listed there in verses 4 to 6, he had it made. Everything was just right. These things he valued, and they were the things he wanted to keep hold of. But then he found Christ, or rather, maybe I should say, Christ found him in Acts chapter 9. And Paul found that this Christ was a pearl of without value. It was the greatest value. It was more precious. And he was willing to give up everything to gain that for himself. And everything else that he thought was so valuable, realized that it was rubbish. It was only good for the tip. The New Living Translation, that's what it is, says worthless. And the old King James has a descriptive word calling it dung. We'd say poo, wouldn't we? And Christ Jesus was so much better because he was the real deal. He was a genuine article. His righteousness surpassed anything that Paul could accomplish. In Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6, it says that our righteousness are like filthy rags, or as the message says, a greasy rag. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, without righteousness, no one can see God. Our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, or you won't enter the kingdom of God. And everything that I call good and right is nothing but rubbish. What chance is it? And that's the reason what Paul wanted was the righteousness of Christ that comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul makes this statement in verse 10. And you look at that. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. So this is my desire, my hope for 2020. And it's a big task. It's not an easy thing. But like Paul, this is the only thing that really has any value. Everything else, and I mean everything else, has no value. Only Christ. And to know Christ, it's not just knowing about Jesus. I can find that by reading the scriptures. I can find it by reading books. But I really want to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to know his will. I want to know his thinking. I want to have his mind in mind. A lot of people know about Jesus, his teaching, his miracles, and even the purpose of his death, burial, and resurrection. But to know Christ is this part that he said there is his participation in the sufferings and becoming like him in his death. And to do that, it's going to be costly. It's not watching the TV so much, not reading so many books, not doing so many puzzle books or idling my time away. I have to really know Jesus. Now, the question is, do I really want to do this? Do you want this for yourself? I want to be able to know Christ Jesus more today, more at the end of the year than I do today. You know, and then it says, yes, we want to know the power of his resurrection. We want to know this experience. It's a resurrection that showed Jesus had the power over sin and death. He is the Almighty God. And with Christ's resurrection working in us, it's great. We're looking forward to the new earth. And when all creation will be becoming, has been groaning since the fall, it'll be liberated. I want to share in that as well. And I should think that all Christians should want to share in that way. We want to know that power of the Lord Jesus Christ living in our lives. And as Paul writes about to us in Romans chapter 6. We want to participate in his sufferings. Or do we? We want to know Christ, and we want to know the power of the resurrection. But Paul wanted more. He wanted to share in his sufferings. And I think this is where most of us would draw the line. You know, we may tell people, yes, following the Christian life isn't easy. It's going to be hard work. And it's going to be difficult. The Christian road is not an easy road. It's tough to follow. But when troubles come, do we really welcome them and open our arms? Probably not. But if you want to know Christ, and I want to know Christ, we will have to suffer like Christ and for Christ. It is expected of us. Jesus said these words in Matthew chapter 5 at the Beatitudes. Strange words, difficult words. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets and those who were before you. In Acts, we read about the disciples when they were persecuted and beaten for testifying about Jesus Christ. They counted it a real joy that they were considered worthy to suffer for him. James writes in his letter, we're to count it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because of the benefit it brings. You know, there are many Christians around the world who suffer in this way because they are Christians. Do I want to suffer? That is harder, but I want to know Christ better. And at the end of the year, better at the end of the year than I do now. And it could very well be that it will involve suffering for him, for the name of Jesus. Lord, just give me strength and perseverance. I've been reading a book this past year, every night. It's a devotional thing called Heroes of the Faith. And it tells of people, somebody every day who had suffered, and quite often it cost them their lives. And it was a real commitment to their faith. Am I willing to suffer like that? Some of the things that these people went through were really, really horrible things. You know, I have it so easy here in this world. It's so easy to be a Christian in a sense. But could I be a Christian in that, going in such circumstances? But it is also a reminder of what Christ did for us. So to know Christ is the getting to know by sharing in his sufferings. And Paul was willing to be like Christ in his death, so to attain the resurrection of the dead. You know, as Christians, we have to die to ourselves. Jesus recorded Jesus' words in Mark's gospel. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. Now, taking up the cross isn't just difficulties that we face. And we do face difficulties in our life. We've got some kind of maybe an ailment or a disability. And we say, well, that's one of the crosses I have to bear. But actually, the cross was an instrument of crucifixion, an instrument of death. And so when we say we're going to take up the cross, it means that we're willing to die for Christ. He died on the cross. And I believe that Jesus expects his followers to die to themselves. When Paul wrote in Corinthians, any man in Christ is the old creature has gone, that the new has come. He means that the old had died, it's disappeared. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul, Romans chapter 6 says, I've been buried with Christ. That means you don't bury a live person, you bury a dead person. So then again, I have to ask myself, have I really crucified the old self? Is the old Wayne really dead? You know, after I finished writing out my sermon of this past week, I really began to wonder, do I really want to share this with you? Do I really want to say that? Because if I do, I'm putting myself on the line. How will my life change this coming year? Will I be able to stand up and stand firm in the sufferings for Christ? Will I really live a life for Christ and the old Wayne completely dead and buried? I've got to admit, because I'm saying these things, I've got to expect God to test me on this. And in a sense, I'm worried, I'm afraid, perhaps, and concerned. I'm so glad that Paul continues with verses 12 to 14. Paul doesn't claim to have achieved this in those verses. It's a great goal. And Paul didn't do it in 1 year, did he? But he presses on, holding on to Jesus, but it is Christ who holds on to him. And the other thing, he doesn't look back with regrets and to get him down, forgetting the past, but he presses forward on to the goal, which is Jesus Christ. Let's not bemoan the failures and the disappointments of 2021. But look forward to 2022. And you know something else? We can't do this on our own. God's Spirit dwells within us. And as we submit to him, the more successful we will be. But also, I sometimes think we need people help, if that makes sense. Someone described it. I know God's with me, but I like a face. And so we need each other. Let's keep in fellowship with other believers. Being a Christian is not an island. It's a community. It's a group of people who encourage and build each other up and help one another. Let's not neglect meeting together. Now, I know that Zoom, is not like meeting in person. But it does help. And I can see your faces. I notice a lot of you have blanked me out, so that's fine. I don't have to look at your face. Maybe I should blank myself out as well. The other thing is have accountability with other believers. Get a prayer partner or join a triplet group. And if you don't know of one, well, start one yourselves. Join up with somebody else and say, can you come and support me this coming year? And let's pray together. And then you can support each other as you press forward to that goal of knowing Jesus Christ. You know, the better you know Jesus in your heart, the more the world will see Jesus in your life. Can you and I say, honestly say, I know Jesus better today than I did yesterday? Let's make it our hope and goal, our aim for 2022 to know Christ in all his fullness.